You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Wednesday morning, March 26th, the day before the opening of the Major League Baseball season for the Milwaukee Brewers. How good does that feel? Yes, it definitely means that spring is here. Except for the weather part. And we'll get to Brittany Merlot with details about that in just a bit. Coming up later on this hour, we'll have two guests from the Lake Holcomb School District here in Chippewa County, where there's a referendum on the ballot next week, along with dozens and dozens of others around the state. And in the case of Lake Holcomb, it shows a flaw in the school funding formula that's been around since, I wanted to get rid of it. You know, when I ran in 2006 for legislature, I was like, we have to get rid of this formula that lets the value of land determine the quality of education. It shouldn't be that way, but it is still that way. That flaw has hung on for all these years, and we'll talk about that coming up in just a bit. But I believe that with Brittany Merlot here and Greg Box standing by, one of the buttons that he pushes for it. Well, he pushes a lot of buttons, trust me, folks. But one of them is the music to Tic-Tac-Toe.
Oh, yes, I do. I have that button right here. Would you like to hear it, Pat?
And Greg has one of those buttons, and one of those buttons is the theme to Tic-Tac-Toe.
Man, banter out the window.
There we go. It is time for the Civic Media Break into Spring Statewide Text to Win Contest. Use that Civic Media app as Greg dances along. You can listen to all the Civic Media stations, pick a home station, hit the text button under one of those stations, and text in that hour's keyword. This happens four times a day. You have till the end of the hour to text it, and then you are registered for an hourly prize, and every entry put you in for a grand prize drawing of a new queen mattress set from Verlo. Here you can get the whole full rules over here at civicmedia.us. And let's bring up this hour's keyword. I want to bring it up here for our social media viewers as well. Base, BASE, as in the Brewers are about to run from first to second to third base. BASE is this hour's keyword. Text it in and you'll be registered for Brewers tickets, some great club level seats. So somebody this hour is going to win Brewers tickets. Why not you? Text in base on that Civic Media app.
I like that
Greg's playing the little synthesizer, your classic 80s game show right over there. So again, base is how's Brittany today?
Oh, I'm fantastic now after watching Greg and that song.
I figure if I'm going to put you both on screen while I'm reading for a minute, you know, he may as well give us something to do, right?
It's what I danced to at my prom. I mean, it means a lot to me.
Well, you were the best on the dance floor, that's for sure.
Oh, so we get baseball season starting tomorrow, but we're still in the 20s this morning around parts of Wisconsin. But yet you're saying enjoy today and you know, tomorrow, because the weekend maybe not so much.
Yeah, that's for sure. I would soak up the sunshine right now because this weekend is going to be sloppy. It is going to be wet with a ton of rainfall. We're also looking at ice accumulations as well as some more snow accumulations too, and this could be statewide. So before we get to that, right now we're looking at temperatures anywhere from 12 degrees into Antigo all the way up to 36 degrees in Prairie du Chien. We've got scattered clouds across the state, and those will be increasing as we go through this afternoon. We'll become mostly cloudy by tonight, and we do have light rain chances possible, scraping the western edge of the state once again this evening. Now that'll quickly pass. Tomorrow the sun will shine. We will see more low to mid 50s across the state, and that's the case today too. Except for if you have the snow cover, you'll still be in those mid 40s, but by tomorrow that should be melted and gone. So everybody will be in those low to mid 50s. And then for Friday, we really warm things up. I'm talking some mid 60s for the southern half of the state. But if you're up north, only mid 40s, because this warm front is going to be lifting through, bringing some scattered showers and storms early in the morning on Friday. And then it's going to sit there and just hang over the Northwoods. So we're going to see rain throughout the afternoon. That continues into our Saturday, heavy at times as it starts to ramp up. And then as that cold air moves in behind it, we are looking at ice accumulations, some decent to heavy snow accumulations, once again targeting the Northwoods. But that does drag itself down even through Sunday and Monday into southern parts of the state as well. And we're looking at significant heavy, wet snow accumulations again.
All right. Then that'll be the last one, right?
Maybe.
Maybe. Good morning from Tigerton. Partly cloudy, Rob says, and 18 degrees, a few slick spots on town and county roads. He said, last night I had pizza at Shell Shock, a bar along Highway 49 in Galloway in southeastern Marathon County. I took some pictures around Galloway in the Four Corners area where Marathon, Portage, Shawano, and Waupaca counties meet. He also did see the Northern Lights. They've been visible the last night or two. And Tic-Tac-Toe reminded him the bonus game on Tic-Tac-Toe was Face the Dragon. And then we don't get a lot of song requests here, but Rob asks you to play the Joker's Jive from the Joker's Wild in the 1970s. Maybe the next contest, Rob, is when we'll do that.
Let me see if I can.
I did check on Shell Shocked where he went yesterday. I checked their Facebook page. You can get, you know, a bacon cheeseburger. You can get, you know, mushroom Swiss. You can get a loaded grilled cheese sandwich, which is Swiss and American cheese with sauteed onions, mushrooms, and green peppers.
Ooh. Yeah. This makes you want to sleep.
chicken, bacon, Swiss, all, you know, chicken drummies, all the good stuff at Shell Shock. So Rob, sounds like a good recommendation. Let's see on the text line here, Tom and Jackson saying, will it be windy today? I don't know. How do you define windy for today? What'd you say? 10 to 15 miles an hour?
Yeah, probably about 5 to 10. Honestly, a normal day. No breezes today.
Okay. I don't know, Pat, if you saw that there was a text that came in, too. This one says base, and then the one that came in that says base. And then
yes, I do know that, because with every time somebody texts something, I get a little bing in my headset to tell me, hey, you got a text from a listener. But that includes contest entries. So bing, 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 a lot of base, a lot of base here. And, you know, we're all about that base. Quick, serious question for Ms. Merlot. We've been meaning to ask this for a couple of days here. With all of the many cuts happening at the federal government level, I am seeing, and our listeners have mentioned, seeing some reports of the National Weather Service not able to launch as many weather balloons to track the weather in our area. Is that the case?
That is the case. They cut down the balloon launch, one of them, at the Green Bay National Weather Service. So they used to do this every single day, two times a day, once in the morning and once in the evening. And the reason they did this is this balloon kind of goes up into the atmosphere, gathers all of this data that we can't get to, right? Because we're here on the ground. So it gathers all the data that we can't get, sends it back, and it makes a really cool, fancy-looking graph that us meteorologists then dissect and use all this information. And it is really, really important for forecasting. And it's even more important tool for tornadoes. I mean, it really shows if the atmosphere has the ingredients, if it's spinning in the right specific way, because everything has to line up just perfectly for a tornado to strike. So they are taking that away in the morning. And that's precious data for us in the afternoon when you know that those storms start to fire up around 1 to 3, maybe even 5 p.m. Now, the only time the National Weather Service in Green Bay is going to be able to launch it is at 7 p.m. now. So it's not going to be until the evening, and we're going to have that old data to use the next day. And that's going to cause a problem for every single one of us.
It's just, and I like hearing this because, again, when people talk about, you know, federal funds, state funds, and where the money's going, a lot of that money goes to the things that people think just happen. And weather forecasts don't just happen.
Oh no!
You know, this isn't you making a best guess by sticking your head out the window. It's all kinds of data, and that data comes from someplace, and that's what gives us accurate forecasts, and now they're going to be a little less so.
It's such a pain because we've come so far in our forecasting. We've gotten so good. And then right when we get there, you're taking it all away.
So. It just takes it all away. So at least for now, while we endure whatever this is that we're enduring, but at least we know how to do it right so that maybe we can bring that back at some point. But for now, consider yourself cautioned about some of the weather data that's out there. All right. Well, Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You too. Bye, guys.
All right, 716. Again, the keyword for this hour is base in the Text to Win contest. Use that Civic Media app. Tom asking, can't satellite data cover it? No, satellite doesn't blow in the wind. You know, again, they're measuring the wind and they're measuring other conditions in the atmosphere right there at the time. Satellites are a useful tool too. You need the whole schmear if you're going to have good, accurate forecasts. I mentioned last hour, and I do want to mention it again because it was it's something that's going to get some traction today, that President Donald Trump yesterday signed an executive order calling for more proof of citizenship to vote in federal elections. And just to make clear that it changes nothing about next week's election for state Supreme Court, which, by the way, Wisconsin elections are already safe, secure, and accurate. There are already ample safeguards in place to guard against voter fraud. In terms of the whole citizenship thing, who in their right mind is going to risk being deported because they want to vote in a state Supreme Court election? It doesn't happen. It's just more fear-mongering. It's just more racism about suspect anybody with darker skin that they might not be here legally, because now you can scoop them up and just ship them off to El Salvador without even a court hearing to see if they are who they say they are. So this is, again, an attempt to scare people into not voting for fear of racial profiling. It's another sign of desperation ahead of the Wisconsin Supreme Court election. And Ann Jacobs of the Wisconsin Elections Commission took to social media yesterday with a very detailed breakdown of how this executive order from the president yesterday does not apply to next week's elections. It ostensibly applies to federal elections. This is not a federal election. States run their own elections. Presidents have no power over state elections. And the state elections that we have here are already being run quite properly. Thank you very much. Remember the audit from last November's election, where not a single vote was miscounted by the time they finished auditing the machines and all of the paper trails. So do vote next week. If you want to know how to register, where to vote, what's on your ballot, head over to myvote.wi.gov. More of today's headlines coming up in just a bit, and then at 7:30, we'll talk about a flaw in the school funding formula affecting a lot of rural districts in Wisconsin. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Steven Tyler is 77 years old today. We've got all of the birthdays and big milestone events out there in the wide world on our history lesson every morning at 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. The 2025 Milwaukee Brewers season opens tomorrow against the New York Yankees at Yankee Stadium. Coverage begins at 1:30 tomorrow on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and the newest Brewers affiliate up north, WBZH, in Hayward. So if you're in any of those areas throughout the upcoming season, tune in. The Milwaukee Bucks wrap up a long five-game Western road trip tonight in Denver. They have split the first four games of that series, and then they will be back home on Friday night. I was on Todd Alba's show yesterday. So it used to be on Wednesdays at noon. We've moved it to Tuesdays at noon. And we were talking about a story that the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel had just started to run. And I don't know if Todd happened to leave the audio in the studio there, Greg, but I'm sure you've heard about the person who was knocking on doors apparently for one of Elon Musk's political groups.
Yeah.
And somebody captured the conversation on their Ring doorbell. And again, this is not so much about the person canvassing on behalf of Brad Schimmel, but it just goes to show you how Elon Musk is working so hard to buy an election in Wisconsin that he's sending out folks who are not so much well-trained as they are well-paid and not really getting a lot of quality as a result. Have you got that there, Greg?
Not yet. No, I'm still trying to find it.
Okay. So. Oh, I'm sorry. So the person who was knocking on the door was asked by the person who recorded this on their Ring camera, you know, why they should vote for Brad Schimmel, and she couldn't really say why. And she said, I need my bills paid, when she was asked why is she canvassing for Brad Schimmel. It turns out that his group's America PAC, being one of them, is paying people $25 an hour to go knock on doors and pass out literature about Brad Schimmel and voting against Susan Crawford. And then, of course, Elon Musk is also basically trying to buy votes by paying people $100 each to sign a petition about so-called activist judges. This is what happens when you have this much money, is that you look for any way to buy an election. And in doing so, it means you run duplicitous ads, like one of Elon Musk's PACs is doing. They're running ads designed to look like Susan Crawford ads, but then ascribing, you know, far left positions to her that she's never talked about, to try to alienate moderate voters. And so the New York Times reported, according to the Journal Sentinel, that America PAC has been paying a canvassing team of more than 500 employees, including 40 paid active canvassers in the Green Bay area, 70 in the Madison area, more in Milwaukee and in other parts of the state. And you're getting people that say, you know, that they don't really know anything about Schimmel. They just are. She just admitted it. She's taking it for the money, knocking on doors. She says at one point, this is just a job for me. I'm just here getting a check, which really doesn't do any favors for the people who actually do knock doors and believe in their candidate, or for the candidates themselves. Knocking on doors is, I found as a candidate and as a legislator, one of the most satisfying parts of the job. No political ads. It's just a series of real conversations. So listen to this one. This is a real conversation. It just didn't go the way the paid canvasser thought it was going to go.
Right now, so yeah, like, I can do the survey too.
Okay, period. Are you guys supporting Brad Schimmel?
No. Are you supporting Brad Schimmel?
Girl, no. I work for Brad Schimmel. I don't work for him, but like I work under him.
Yeah, no. You're like being paid by Elon Musk right now.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Why so you
don't
say sorry?
You don't support Brad Schimmel?
Okay, so I'm gonna say this. I don't know much about anything. Like, girl, this is just a job for me. I'm just out here getting a check. I'm not gonna.
Who pays you guys?
So basically, American PAC, that's who I work under, is a company that's sponsored by Elon Musk and Donald Trump. So that's who basically pays them. So, I'm just like a...
How much do you get paid?
Girl, I get paid like $25 an hour.
$25 an hour? Cool. Mm-hmm. And is it just doors?
Yeah, it's just doors. So basically, I do door-to-door, and I just, you know, knock on doors and just, you know, do my
work. Yeah. Cool. We're all voting for Susan Crawford.
Okay.
So if you want to put that in the survey, you can, but we're doing that because abortion's on the ballot.
Oh yeah. Of course. Yeah.
So if we elect Brad Schimmel, nobody will have the right to choose anymore.
For real?
Yeah. So you don't have to do this. I promise. I promise. Can I have a piece of literature though?
I need my bills paid.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
And again, this is nothing against that canvasser. If you are sent out to canvass for somebody, trust me, I've been a part of so many of these.
Yeah.
You're well trained. You are given the things to say, you are given the material, and you don't do it if you don't believe in that person or that cause. Whereas if you turn it into just a job, you're going to get people who take it as just a job. And that's not a knock on her. She's got to pay her bills.
No.
It's a knock on Elon Musk. It's a knock on Brad Schimmel for putting up with this as an ally. And there are very real ramifications. I haven't had time yet this week to urge people to look at a guest column in the Cap Times by Jeffrey Bolt, who writes about working with court cases where Brad Schimmel has sought to undermine environmental regulations. These are the things that matter. Supreme Court justices, they don't deal with a lot of cases of, sexual assault and other hardened criminals, the things that all the commercials are about. They deal with issues more in line of corporate pollution or corporate crime. And if you are the world's richest person and you want your corporations to get preferential treatment, well, then you're going to use some of that money to invest in commercials. You're going to use some of it to invest in paid canvassers. And you're going to get conversations like that not only didn't help Brad Schimmel at that door, but thanks to that recording, really isn't helping Brad Schimmel for a lot of other folks who are hearing this as well. All right, we're going to talk about a big flaw in the Wisconsin school funding formula and its impact on one Chippewa County school district right after this on Up North News Radio. Half my life's in books written pages. And I go back to a two-tone short bed Chevy, driving my first love out to the levee, living life with no sense of time. There's one from Kenny Chesney, who turns 57 years old today. On the text line from our last segment talking about paid canvassers from Elon Musk, Matt in Germantown texts in, they came to our door. We asked if they are getting paid and if they believe in what they were saying. Basically responded saying it was their job and hinting that they don't believe it. So basically the same thing as what you heard in our last segment. From Allison Cudahy, our neighbor canvasser for Schimmel said he was, our neighborhood canvasser for Schimmel said he was from Mississippi and needed the job, and that obviously many of these paid canvassers don't even live in the communities. And then finally from one Luke Mathers, the dogs barking in the audio clip set off all of the pups over there at Casa de Mathers. And I had a feeling that was probably happening in other places as well, but we are very pro dog here. And so if the dogs are barking because they're happy to hear somebody else, hey, that's just a big plus for us. 7:36 right now on this Wednesday morning, and time to shift gears in our weekly homeroom segment where we talk about public education in Wisconsin, what makes it so great, what threatens it, and what are the opportunities out there. And I think all of that is rolled into next week's referendums. Nearly 90 more are on the ballot. Many of them the result of a school funding system in Wisconsin that is unnecessarily complicated and unnecessarily flawed. And we're going to focus on one of those particular flaws about land value still playing a much too large role in whether you have a quality education in your school district, which you should have wherever you are in Wisconsin, whatever the value of your property, you should be able to have, good teachers, good buildings, good equipment, and good outcomes. So let's head to the Lake Holcomb School District here in Chippewa County. Let's talk to a district administrator, Kurt Lindau, and Brian Gutman from the school board there in Holcomb. Kurt, Brian, good morning. Thanks, guys, for being here today.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Well, it's really nice to have you here to talk about a referendum, which I guess, Brian, we'll start with you in that this is not some one-time thing. You guys are no strangers to the referendum process there in the Lake Holcomb area.
That's correct, Pat. We've been in, this will be our sixth referendum in 18 years. We go to referendum every 3 years. That's by our choice because of the fact that we don't know where the budget is going to be, the state budget only being 2 years. So we go to our people and ask them to keep our school open for 3 more years And that's what we've done for the last 6 years. So that's 18 years of doing this.
That's amazing. And Kurt, can you give a little detail on what the next week's particular referendum, what it's all about?
Sure. We're asking for an operational referendum, non-recurring, as Brian said. Every 3 years, we go back to the voters. This will be my second round in my tenure here at Lake Holcomb. We're asking for $900,000. That's a $25,000 increase from 3 years ago. And these are for operating expenses. This allows us to continue to fund our programs and activities and sports and organizations, and also to continue to maintain our buildings and grounds.
So I'm not hearing anything new here. I'm not hearing that every teacher gets a new car or anything like that. This is maintaining what's out there that we've said many a time on this show, that state aid has not kept up with inflation for 16 consecutive years now. But we've talked about the chronic underfunding, but it's also the formula itself that is very odd for certain school districts around Wisconsin that are land rich, shall we say. Brian, can you give us an explanation of what it means for districts like yours where you have that beautiful Holcomb flowage up there?
Yeah, what I always say, Pat, is we're a property-rich, poor school district because we have so much property. We have over $700 million worth of assessed valuation in our school district, but our kids, about more than 60% of them are on free and reduced lunches. So you can see that those kids that, you know, from those houses around the lake are not coming from those houses. And the formula is made so that we don't get an equal share of the state aid. We're down to $264 per student in state aid.
Tell folks how far down that is. You get $264 per student in state aid. What did it used to be?
Well, in 2000, it was $4,453.
$4,453. But obviously, as land values, if property values have risen, that amount of state aid is now, it's almost completely wiped out. And this district is not alone in that, Kurt. I assume that this is a problem I'm sure you hear from other district administrators in the state as well, that, again, you didn't create it. It's the thing that you have to live with.
And in fact, we're one of those districts where our aid is going to be reduced by 15% every year until it reaches zero.
Zero. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was away from the microphone and had to sit up straight again when you said it would come down to zero. Again, under the guise of you have enough wealthy property owners that they'll just pick up the slack. But like you said, Brian, there's a whole lot of people who don't live in nice houses on the lake, and you know they too are going to see their property taxes go up as a result. Now, Brian, you and I go way back to 2006 when I ran for legislature. So I've known you for a long time, and you know that I said back then about this whole notion of property value determining, you know, state aid, and we have seen a lot of lawmakers come and go. We've seen the economy go up and down, and yet you're still kind of making that case to whoever your legislator is that there's got to be a better way to fund education than this.
That's right, Pat. You know, back in 94, our school was putting an addition on, and the board at that time decided that they wouldn't go to the max in the revenue limit. So what they did is they I don't know if I'm still on or not.
Yes, you are. Yep. You're doing okay. Fine. Yep.
But anyway, they decided not to go to the revenue limit, and so we've lived with that since 1994. So this revenue thing is in from 1994 that we were living with this. That's why we've had to go to referendum sooner than a lot of other school districts.
Yeah, and again, it's not that there isn't a role for the local property tax in schools, but clearly it is so much different than what you would get from state aid. A lot of state aid comes from income taxes, which are progressive. So, you know, as you have a higher income, you're paying more into the pot as opposed to people who see their land and house values go up, but maybe a lot faster than their paycheck does. From Tony on YouTube, he writes, Someone should make an interactive quiz of what do you want your school to have. Then the result shows up on how much it actually costs. People appear to be very disconnected from the actual cost of education. And again, Kurt, I don't think this is a political statement when I ask you to say that's probably very true. The lack of public awareness, not that it's anybody's fault, but it comes to you every 3 years to have to explain to people that, you know, you can't run a school on pocket change.
Yeah, and I think the school board here now and in the past has said, if we're going to have a school, we're going to have a good school, and we're going to have offerings for our students. And, you know, you talk a lot about state aid, but the problem is twofold. It's a problem of revenue as well. We are a low revenue ceiling district. We can only raise the minimum amount allowable by law through the revenue limit formula, and that's $11,325 per student. And, you know, back prior to 2009, revenue limits were indexed to inflation, and so there was an inflationary increase that was built into the formula. In 2009, in response to the downturn of the economy in 2008, Governor Doyle put a sunset on those automatic increases, and we've had very little or no increase since 2009. And in fact, a recent study by WASBO, the Wisconsin Association of School Business Officials, and UW-Madison showed that that loss of revenue has resulted in $3,300 per student since 2009. You multiply that times the approximately 270 students in the Lake Holcomb School District, and that's almost $900,000 of lost revenue.
And again, it takes so much more to educate students, give them a good education. From Laura on Facebook, we can't keep funding via referendum. I'm a disabled senior on a fixed income. I am also a retired teacher with a great belief in a properly funded school system. My taxes have been increased by 50% over the past 5 years, in part by school referendums, which now constitute 25% of my taxes, and for the next 12 years. I will not be able to keep my home of 25 years if it happens again. Fixed income means fixed income. And actually, Laura, it's worse than that, because what we assumed was a fixed income through things like Social Security, well, now that's well into play as well. So we've got an entire system that is a big fat mess. And so, Brian, again, because you have seen legislators and candidates come and go, do you have a recommendation or two that you would have told the legislature years ago, but let's just deal with the here and now? What could this legislature do that would fix at least most, if not all, of the problem?
Well, they need to fix the funding formula. You know, if you think about it, what has not changed since 1994? You know, we have to update this funding formula. Like Kurt said, we have to increase the revenue limits. Some school districts can fund their students up to $16,000, maybe $18,000 a student, and we're stuck at $11,000. So that needs to be fixed. The other thing that needs to be fixed is that we get our money after the private voucher schools get their money. And we have to change that. We have to take every student that comes through our doors. These private voucher schools don't have to take every kid that comes through their doors. So it's an expensive proposition sometimes to take on these students that we have to, because we have to take everyone that comes through our doors.
Yes, you do. And as a result, you have these costs that special education costs, for example, that are only reimbursed by the state at about a 35% level, whereas the legislature set up the voucher schools to get 90% reimbursement for their special education students. And Kurt, can you explain the point that Brian was making in terms of how the voucher or choice school system essentially gets paid first, and then public schools have to split up what's left?
Yeah, and as I understand it, the voucher students, we have to raise more revenue through the revenue limit formula than we can raise even for our own students at $11,325. Then it's my understanding that we tax our taxpayers and then cut a check to the voucher school for that. And I was going to make a point too. You know, in years past, you know, blue ribbon commissions. And I believe that Governor Eveners actually took a run at it as well. But to try and get a guaranteed amount of aid behind every student in every school district, no matter where you live, no matter what your property value is. But that has not happened, and I haven't heard that that has resurfaced as well. And actually, we only get 29% categorical aid funding from for special education students. And I believe in this upcoming budget session, the different groups, the Association for Aid and Funding, the School Board Association, or the school business officials, WASBO, the district administrators are going to ask that the legislature fund special education at 60%. And so we'll see where that goes.
Brian, the last thing here is that the previous referendums have passed, and I did not want to lead with anything that sounded alarmist. But if next week's referendum were to not pass, where would the school district potentially go from here?
Well, we've always told our residents in our school district that if we can't give them our students a good education here, a quality education, that we would dissolve our district and let our kids go and our parents go in the surrounding school areas, because that's, you know, that's the only thing that we can do.
Right, because again, if the funding is just no longer there, but to this point, you've had excellent local support. They shouldn't have to be voting to raise their own taxes all the time. The legislature should be holding up its end of the deal, but has not been. Brian Goodman from the Lake Holcomb School Board, Kurt Lindau, the district administrator. Thank you, gentlemen, so much. Good luck to you next week.
Thank you,
Pat. Thank you.
We'll wrap things up with Todd Alba right after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Or maybe he's not. Todd Alba was threatening to come join us on the show here, and hopefully we'll hear from him in the next couple of minutes or so. But again, my thanks to our guests from the Lake Holcomb School District. And I wanted to address one point that was made in the comment sections about this, about, well, you know, maybe schools should just compete for students and, you know, let's have that kind of competition. My response to that is, okay, let's go with healthcare first. Let's have a public option. Let's have a public option, you know, Medicare for all, for healthcare. And then let's see if for-profit corporations, you know, want to compete with that. And then for the schools, maybe we don't give all of our tax dollars to private schools. And again, you have to compete just on your own merits. In both cases, decisions are made by lawmakers in Madison and in Washington about what's right for them. And right now, the decisions being made are not fair to a lot of these rural school districts.
Well, also, I feel like it just puts undue pressure on everyone then. You add a competition portion to it, even in the most simple way. It's still – can we just give money to schools so kids can learn?
Right. And that's the whole point here is, and again, that's where our newsletter question comes in about healthcare. Why are we jumping through all these hoops? We pay taxes. Let's pay our taxes. Let's get healthcare. Mm-hmm. Every other developed country has figured it out. A lot of countries have school systems, public school systems that are having better outcomes because, again, they're not having to compete with a for-profit private sector that's out there.
Yeah.
Earlier in the week, actually back on, was it Sunday night? Conan O'Brien was saluted at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., getting the Mark Twain Award?
Yes.
For American humor.
Yep.
And he handled it very well. There was a lot of jokes at the president's expense after making himself the new ruler of the Kennedy Center, but
I didn't see that yet. I just have the clip of him talking about Mark Twain.
Oh, yes. And he mentioned, you know, that Mark Twain had a real distaste for politics, and everybody will get to see this, I believe, in May. It was recorded, and yes, it will stream on Netflix on May 4th. So just wanted to put that on your viewing radar. Now, on your listening radar comes the blip that we know as Todd Alba. Mr. Alba, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're great, Todd.
We're great. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Great. Thank you for asking.
Well, let's just pretend like it's the beginning of the segment.
There we go. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
One more for Diana Ross's birthday there. That Mr. Alba joins us now with a Brewers cap, I believe. Tip your head down. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Yep, there it is.
Yep.
It's a Brewers cap. Ready for that season opener tomorrow.
Yes, can't wait. Hopefully the Brewers can have another fine season. Cannot wait.
hopefully the Brewers can have another season.
Fine. You know what? A fine season is a lot better than what, you know, Cubs fans got last year, that a lot of other teams got. Fair. I will take that. I don't have to win the World Series every year. And that's what makes baseball just a lovely game to watch. Speaking of which, base is our word this hour. And you've got another 3 minutes that you can text that in using the Civic Media app, BASE, B-A-S-E. And then you will have chances to win again in the 11 a.m. hour, the 1 p.m. hour, and the 4 p.m. hour, where I just have a feeling you and Ms. Matt Nair and Greg Bach over there are going to be competing again for who sends in the most texts during your show with those keywords. You guys are animals.
I feel like they're gonna take it to us this time. So you know,
there you go, setting the bar low like a good coach. You know, I don't know. They're a really good team. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, we'll be lucky to get 100 entries by the end of this thing.
Oh, you know? Stop it.
As he's like, we'll get 100 entries. Sip.
I think the Todd Alba show is now going to be known as the Wendy Williams show of the
My God, what are you talking about? Why? What is this shaming thing you're doing? It's so un-Todd.
Let me break into this because I'm noticing as all the texts come in. This is only one person, and I'm going to actually call this person out. Michelle in Wisconsin Rapids, you accidentally misspelled the word, and you got to spell it correctly. It's base, B-A-S-E. We want you to have that entry in so you can maybe win Brewers tickets this hour.
And make sure. Go on. I was going to say, make sure your app has the ability to text. We had one person coming through saying they couldn't text. It may be the size of your fonts. It may be the addition of your app. But
you should have a text option on there. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, get in touch with the station. What have you got coming up today? Because we were doing the Brad Schimmel door knocker. We played audio this morning that I first heard on your show yesterday. So who knows what kinds of things you'll be breaking for us today?
I'm all discombobulated. I really need Dan Schaefer. He's not going to be there, but I could use him. And I'm a little discombobulated because, you know, now Pat's moved to Tuesday with us. I'm very grateful for that. But the dynamic of when – that's why I was thrown off this morning because I'm like, well, I talked to Pat yesterday. Today's Thursday, but no, Pat's now on Tuesday. So today we have Trigby Olson, who will be missing you and we'll just be talking about how much we miss you, Pat.
Talking like old men do. Yes, exactly.
In all seriousness, he has some new polling information on the judicial race. We're going to reveal that today.
Good deal. Let's see. And on Matt Nair on Air, there's Corinne Hendrickson about childcare, state party chair Ben Wickler from the Democrats. Pete Schwabe tonight has the authors of 100 Things to Do in Door County Before You Die. And there's local shows with great guests coming up next in the Wausau area. Chad Holmes has Sean Wright, director of the Grand Theater in Wausau. Concerts coming up there include the Bodines, Marty Stewart, Ben Folds, lots of tribute shows. Guys, we got to make a road trip and see Chad in Wausau and go see some of these shows.
I want to see Marty Stewart and the fantastic Superlatives.
Yes. So there you go. Todd's got to plan another road trip. He's our master road trip planner. But with that, we got to roll. Check in Todd's show at noon. You see Greg in 2 hours. Thanks for joining us on Up North.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.